If you have your Bibles, we're going to be moving into the subject of angelology as we wrapped up at least a survey of pneumatology last week. So we're going to move into angelology, the doctrine and the study of angels. And so what we are about to embark on is a study of what God says about His messengers, about those who carry out His work and His will, and also those who protect the creation that carries the image of God, and that's you and I. So we're going to be moving into this area, so hope you have your notes, handouts that we can work through together. Hold on to those as they might serve as a reference in the future. So let's just open a brief word of prayer, and then we'll start to walk through this introduction. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that You, Your Son, and Your Holy Spirit would guide us in the ways of truth and wisdom, that we'd submit ourselves to Your Word and the study of it. We pray this and ask this in Your Son's precious name. Amen. All right, angels. I learned most of my angelology, if you will, from Highway to Heaven. How many here remember Highway to Heaven? And apparently Michael Landon and Jonathan Edwards worked in every capacity from Little House on the Prairie all the way to Los Angeles, California, as an angel. Were they both angels?
No,
just Michael. Yeah, he had a high opinion of himself. And I'm teasing. And also, there's another angel show that was out in the 90s and early 2000s. What was it? Touched by an Angel, yes. There is an abundance of information on angels, an abundance of perversion as well, misinformation about angel that resides inside and outside of the church, whether it be in Hollywood or whether it be in people's personal hopes and expectations for angels. So the purpose of this study is to simply highlight what God's Word says about angels. We will not exceed it or fall short of it, hopefully. The Bible teaches that there are other rational, personal beings in our world besides us. Allow that to just sink in for a moment. Scriptures reveal that there are creatures that are rational and personal other than us, and they are called angels, and they are both holy, and there are fallen evil angels in our world who live beyond our range and ability of detection, yet they are active in our lives both for good and negative. This introduction will be a little bit different from our other studies in that it will be a rapid fire of information. A rapid fire of information. And so I purposely have made this study a bit shorter tonight in hope that you will attain more information and interest through smaller consumable portions. Translation for that, you will get out early tonight. And in return, I ask that you stay with me. Is that a fair deal? It's a beautiful night out. So let's begin with the origin of angels. The origin of angels. Angels are created beings. Colossians and Nehemiah talk about that. It is pretty evident within Scripture that they were created before the earth and perhaps even before material things. Job 38 kind of hints towards that. Angels have a personhood, for they were created to have that, in that their personhood is manifested in things such as self-awareness, self-determination, moral awareness, as well as personal intelligence. So they have a personhood much like but different than man has a personhood as well. So we get an idea of the origin and the personhood of angels. Also, we're going to take a look at the character of angels. Now, like I said, we'll be moving quickly tonight and just to set a foundation to our study on angelology. First thing, angels are invisible in our present sight. Numbers, 2 Kings, Psalms 34. They do, however, from the evidence within Scripture, have the ability to manifest themselves in human form and appear or disappear in order to accomplish God's divine will. We see that in Sodom and Gomorrah. We see that when they were working with Mary. We see it throughout the New Testament. Scripture says that there are times when we may entertain angels unaware. So there seems to be evidence within Scripture that while they are invisible, they can manifest themselves from time to time. Scripture also tells us that they are many. There are legions upon legions upon numerous angels that are classified in rank within heaven for a purpose in each one of their existence. They are powerful. Scripture tells us that they are endowed with superhuman strength. However, they do not have infinite power as God does. So they are very powerful. They are many. And another one is they are capable of learning. Scripture teaches that they learn and they are curious about the things that God does. And they have been learning about their God for all of their created lives, and that will continue to happen through all of eternity. And the same thing is true for us as well, that from the moment we receive the Holy Spirit in the guarantee and deposit and the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we will continue to learn about God for all of eternity after we die, when we go into glory, and we will never exhaust the character and the wisdom and the infinite nature of our everlasting eternal God. For all of eternity, we will learn about God, how infinite His riches are. Angels will learn as well. We will as well. Number two, they are indestructible. Angels are indestructible. Being created as personal creatures with a definite beginning, they will exist forever, just like mankind will exist forever. This is not our home. This is a blip on the screen. We will, depending on what we do, with the full knowledge of Jesus Christ, whether we accept or reject Him, being made evident and clear through the creation of the world or through the testimony of His Word, whether we accept Jesus Christ or deny Him, we will continue to live forever, either in eternal damnation or in heavenly paradise in the presence of our Lord. But angels are indestructible in the same way. There are either holy angels that are with God, or there are evil angels that are either in torment in hell now, or they are free awaiting that eternal damnation. Another thing we need to learn about angels is that they are unredeemable. Allow me to define that for a moment. There is no scriptural evidence in all of Scripture that Christ's atoning work extends to fallen angels. In fact, Matthew 25 tells us that hell was prepared for Satan and his what? Angels. So there is a pretty certain point that after the fall of angels, if you will, after the rebellion in heaven, angels have sealed their fate, and those who followed Satan are at this present time unredeemable. The eternal fate of angels was sealed upon the choice to remain faithful to God or to follow Satan. At this point, their choice and rejection of God was affirmed and made permanent, for their decision was made in the full knowledge of God. That sounds familiar, just a little bit. Their decision was made in the full knowledge of God in heaven, and they followed Satan. So, their rejection is affirmed and made permanent. Now we're going to move into the classification of angels. Classification of angels. Angels will fall under two major categories that are then divided into smaller classifications under them. The two major categories are holy and evil or fallen angels. So let's take a look at holy angels first and the hierarchy that is found within the heavenly realms. All right, like I said, this will be rapid fire and we will wrap up a little bit quicker than normal, but I'm hoping that by keeping it short, your brains will be sponges and just kind of pick this stuff up. And when we get out a little earlier, take time to get to know each other before you get your kids downstairs. First one is, and that wasn't even in my notes, folks, that was free. All right, the first one is cherubim. Cherubim is the highest order of angelic beings. These angels are closely associated with the throne of God. Ezekiel 28, 2 Kings 19. Scripture tells us in Ezekiel and Psalms that they bear the throne of God. They engage and lead. Grab this. They engage and lead, because it's going to be important to the introduction of our study next week. They engage and lead in the eternal perpetual worship of God. Revelation 4, 5, 8, 14. We know one of these cherubs by name, by the way. We do know a cherub by name, and he affects our lives daily, but we'll touch on that in just a little bit. The next category of angels, as far as Scripture reveals, is that of seraphim. Seraphims are stationed near the throne of God. cherubs would be closer, if not beside or around the throne of God. These are stationed near the throne of God, Isaiah 6. Their primary responsibility is simply to proclaim the glory and holiness of God. So holy, so powerful, so infinite, that there are beings that were created before material things who, even though they have power in which you and I could never comprehend, their sole job, their sole responsibility is to proclaim the glory and holiness of God. And if we don't, the rocks will, and we know that the angels already are, forever and ever and ever. Amen. And someday we will just simply join them in that wonderful privilege. The other next category down, if you will, is archangel. This is one that we are familiar with. An archangel commands the regular forces, if you will, the regular angels, and serves as the foremost holy angel over the troops, or the regular angels, if you will. Revelation 12 talks about this. Specifically, Michael, the archangel, seems to have a special commission relating to the care of the nation of Israel. The care of the nation of Israel. His care may extend further than that, I don't know. But we do see evidence within Scripture that he has a very special bond with Israel and has been assigned to them in many different areas. Daniel, Jude, and Revelation. Then we have what we call regular angels. This would be the category where Michael Landon would have fallen into at this point in time. The name angel means messenger. They are active in the service of God. They deliver messages. Blessed art thou among women, for you shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, Emmanuel, for he shall save his people from their sins. Conveying divine revelation. Hebrews talked about how Jesus was greater than the angels and how they believed that angels were almost next to God because they even have the word El at the end of the name Angel, which is a name for God in Hebrew. They were so close to God, and they brought Old Testament scriptures to man, and they even got to the point where they would worship angels. Angels would be active in divine revelation. They inflicted divine judgment. We see that in Sodom and Gomorrah, Samuel and Revelation, and the seals and the trumpets. The care for God's people, Genesis 19, Acts chapter 5. They warn. They are warring against the forces of Satan. I'm reminded of in Daniel where he said, I'm sorry I'm so late, but I had to battle with the prince of Persia, which appears to be a demonic angelic battle for a region and for the care of God's people. Another one here is that angels are very busy observing believers. Let that sink for a moment. They observe believers. 1 Corinthians 4, 9, 11, 10. My friends, you are never, ever truly alone. Not only because of the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and that He will never leave nor forsake you, but there are messengers who are created to guide and protect God's creation in the image of God, and they observe believers. Let that serve both as an encouragement and a point of accountability when we are tempted to do wrong. When you think no one is watching, the heavens and their angels are. When you look over your shoulder and make sure that no one can see you. When you shut the door thinking that you're all alone. When you seek privacy to hide your sin. Just remember that when you're done looking over your shoulder, not only do you have the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit that is there with you at all times, but there is a highly likability, is that a word, likability? Highly likelihood, all right, that angels are observing as well. I believe angels are in this room right now. Angels are outside. They are administering God's work and will. So they observe human beings. Now we're going to move into fallen angels, or evil angels, if you will. Fallen angels possess personhood, just like holy ones do, obviously, because they come from the same stock, with moral determination. They were given a choice of remaining loyal to God or to follow Satan. These angels are those who responded to Satan's persuasion to revolt against God and to follow him, Revelation 12. Their wrong choice in action engendered, which is a word meaning created within them, because God did not create evil, nor is he the source or origin of evil. but their choice and their action engendered and created within them a sin force that brought not only eviction from heaven, but spiritual death as well, bringing them not under the authority of God. Well, of course, everything is ultimately under the authority of God, but specifically under the authority of Satan for a temporary period of time. Matthew 25:41. These angels now fall under two further categories. So not only do we have holy angels over here, but we have fallen angels over here, and those fallen angels will now fall into two distinct categories. The first one are confined evil angels. Confined evil angels. These fallen angels are confined in Tartarus, a region of Hades. If you remember when we studied out Sheol, and there's the paradise and Abraham's bosom, and then a great chasm, and then you have a place of torment where the rich man said, please dip your tongue that I might find relief in this flame and go tell my brothers. And they said they have the prophets and they have the word, and if they don't believe the prophets and the word, they're not going to believe a dead man. So what we have here is Hades, a place of torment, and these angels are in torment as my voice echoes off these walls, and they have been since the moment they followed Satan rather than God. They are bound in Hades, awaiting the lake of fire, awaiting the final judgment. And they serve, grab this, they serve as an example of final judgment. Have you ever heard the words, he's all bark and no bite? What does it mean, he's all bark and no bite? Talk to me. He's harmless. He's not going to follow through with what he said. How many times, parents, have you barked out a punishment and 30 seconds later you go, oh my word, I just punished myself. I've got to work my way out of this punishment. Have you ever done that before? Am I the only one? Amy's done it a lot, all right? And I talk her through that as the head of the house, washing her with the word. No, but I'll say, that's it! You're grounded for a week! And I'm like, that's going to be the longest week of my life. Maybe just an hour, all right? Sit there and think about what you did. All bark, no bite. Never follow through with eternally damning his creation. We find that within the Church of Modernity and contemporary authors who like to wow us with shock value and really nice hair, all right? Who will say that God will never fully go through with sending someone to the lake of fire for all of eternity in torment, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and the separation from the presence of a relationship with God for all of eternity, always but never being consumed by torment. God will never do this to his creation. Love will win out. They'll go to purgatory for a while. You following which denomination I'm going to now? And we'll pray them out, and eventually they'll go to glory. Love will win out. Truth will win out. These angels serve as an example of God saying, not only will those who reject my offer of salvation be eternally separated from me, but here is a group I've already done it with. He loves his angels. They are his creation. And he has already placed a group of his creation who have rejected him into eternal damnation as to serve as a warning. When you walked into Rome and you looked up on all of these crosses, they served as a what class? A warning. We're not kidding around. There it is. Already done it. And we'll do it again. Christ, in this way, it serves as an eternal example of saying, I mean what I say. I've already done it. Find him while he may be found. Don't test the Lord. His justice and his holiness is absolute. And his love and his mercy is available. Number three, free evil angels. Loyal to Satan, these angels actively oppose God and his people and influence world affairs. The common biblical name for these angels are demons and spirits. They cause self-destruction. teach false doctrine, interpret false prophets, incite wickedness, influence human political leaders, hinder God's people. I don't know, I've never experienced that one personally, but hinders God's people. Of course I have. Tempted. And they project evil thoughts. They project evil thoughts. Here's an example. Jesus looks at Peter and says, I'm going to die. And he said, surely, Lord, you will never die. You will never die. And the Lord said to Peter, who's putting thoughts in God's mind, he says, get behind me, what class? Satan. They project evil thoughts. A lot of times we'll pick them up and run with it from there. But they project evil thoughts. Now the fixed position of angels. Holy angels are elect of God to remain unfallen. They will worship God and serve Him forever. There are no switching sides anymore. Evil angels. Let's see here. Let's throw that one up there. There's holy angels. There it is. Evil angels. They will be judged. They will experience conscious torment in hell and the lake of fire forever. They are aware of their doom and that awaits them. Oh, Son of God, are you here to torment us before our time? And he sent them into the pigs. They are very aware of the doom that awaits them. So all these movies you see about angels switching sides is Hollywood. So with all of this being said, we're going to conclude here. We're going to conclude our rapid fire of angelology as an introduction. And what we've done tonight is set a foundation of terms to build on. Now, to go deeper into the realm of angels and demons. All right? Next week, we will begin our cautious study of Satan. I say cautious because I want to ask for your prayers this week. Prayers for me and prayers for you and prayers for this church. Because every time I set a course to teach about Satan, I'm going to be transparent with you, and I believe the churches as well. I receive greater attention and attacks from him. I receive more temptation. I receive more exhausting trials, more attacks, more trials. And so I ask for your prayers and prayers for the church. Satan strives to hide. He strives to hide, to disappear from the radar of believers. He presents himself as an angel of light. A lot of times he will present good ideas to the church, good ideas that end up dividing the church. He loves to come in a Trojan horse, something other than what he is. Oh, and by the way, just a little bit of collateral thought here, that if you introduce a good idea to church and that idea is starting to divide and split the church, you have the responsibility to withdraw the good idea for the bride of Christ's sake. Amen? We're not here to push everyone's good ideas. We are here for the best and the excellence of God's Word and His will in our lives. The same is true. He appeared to Adam and Eve as a serpent of reason and promotion. He hates to be identified. He hates to be revealed as He is within believers' lives. At the same time, it's urgent for us to learn what God has revealed about His archenemy, Satan. We must be careful, however. Now grab this. We're almost done. We must be careful not to allow an unhealthy curiosity about the devil and his works to bubble up in our lives. Satan is by nature addicting. I'll say that one more time. Satan is by nature addicting. Let me prove this point out. The study of him in and of itself is dangerous. He is the most, not one of, he is the most cunning, the most beautiful creation that God has ever created. He is wise above all save that of God. He is so addicting that one third of heaven, where the veil of spiritual world does not exist, one third of heaven who has seen the glory of God, who have heard the cherubs sing, who have seen the seraphims cry out His holiness, and His legion of angels promoting His will, and the archangels commanding them, one third of heaven was convinced of this angel of light's superiority over God. How addicting is this angel? So let us not think that we cannot be drawn in by such an adversary when one third of heaven followed him while they stood in the presence of an almighty God. God help us. Amen? We must know our enemy and his tactics, his goals. Like any good soldier, we must know who we are fighting against. But be careful not to exalt him in any way. For this reason, each time we finish this section on Satan, we will immediately follow it with worship and praise of our God and Lord Jesus Christ, who has defeated our enemy past, present, and future. To God be the glory forever. Amen. Satan is not our object. God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, we believe, three in one. Amen? But we must know our enemy. So I'll start out with one interesting nugget of truth about Satan that you may not have known, maybe you have. And then we'll pick up that nugget and we'll begin our walk next week. Remember when I said we knew a cherub angel by name? A cherub angel by name. And we deal with him daily. Lucifer, who he's known for before his rebellion, now Satan, was created as the supreme cherub angel of all creation in heaven. Supreme cherub angel. He was the highest, most superior. None like him. Scripture says that precious stones and jewels were crafted and adorned and made just for him prior to his creation. Satan is not the red-headed stepchild of the spiritual world. He is the all beautiful creation of God that knows power unlike you and I never will. He was adorned with all of the beauty and sapphires and gems and gold, and he was exalted high above all the other angels. This guy is the real deal. He was the highest ranking angel among the highest ranking angels who had full access to God in his throne. It says that he walked back and forth through the fiery stones that talked about the most holy of holies within heaven. He went in and out of the most holy of places. He administered, he was in charge of the perpetual worship of God's holiness. His closest one. He had unlimited access to the throne of God. Grab this. And he still does. It is a common misconception that Satan was forever thrown out of heaven. Scripture nowhere teaches that. He goes into the throne room of God. Job says that when the angels came in before God, Satan came in with them. And he stood in the presence of God. Satan was cast out of the government, the hierarchy, the kingdom, the realms of God's kingdom. But he still has access to God, even to this day. Job 1:6, Zechariah 3, Ezekiel 28. Isn't it interesting that an angel that spends his time trying to counterfeit God, false gospel, false prophets, false church, false Bible, false angel of light. Isn't it interesting that an angel that spends its time trying to counterfeit God is the one who had the most sustained, closest access to him? Maybe this is the reason why Satan is so effective in counterfeiting God to this world. Because outside of the Trinity, Satan was it. Pray for protection, but we would be negligent, I would be negligent as your pastor, we would be negligent as a church if we skipped this study due to its uncomfortable nature. And I'm going to close with this, which means you're getting 6 minutes. No successful church, and I'll allow you to define that in the biblical way, no successful church can ever take their eyes off their enemy and expect to prosper. Ever. So please pray for one another. Please pray for me, because Satan does not like to be identified, and he certainly doesn't want you aware of how he works. But there is no other created being, and the angelic realms that is spoken above more than Satan in this revealed book, save that of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God the Father. But they're not created, are they? They are the creators. So let us know our enemy with humility, but through the power of Jesus. And let's be a strong church. Gracious Heavenly Father, we submit ourselves to your protection. We ask that you would protect this church, that while we identify our enemy, our focus would always be on honor and glorifying you. Protect me this week and our church as a whole. Thank you for your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.